Good morning, you guys. We are a church that enjoys to worship together, and it is a joy to be with you this morning. I am typically on the road. The last year and a half, especially since stepping out of directing kids ministry, I have been in all sorts of cities with my workplace, Indiana Wesleyan University. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Vaso Suodolski, and I serve as one of our team leaders here at Rockside Church, and have held different roles in different ways. But it's a privilege to be in God's house together, face to face. I get to watch online, and I love our services online. But there's nothing like being able to hug one another's necks and be able to high five and cheer each other on, because some of us are up here today, and some of us are down here, and some of us are in between, and we get to encourage each other in the body of Christ today as we gather together. It's not in vain. It's with great purpose. So thanks for choosing to be in church today. Thanks for choosing to watch and be with us online, and God's going to do some great things with us this morning. So I think about our membership class today. That video was going to be an introduction into our next series. And Pastor Michelle is prepared and had prepared a message on good soil. And as we come off of Easter, thinking about our lives and the different types of soil that the seeds are sown in. And so stay tuned. I don't know where that message will come into play in the midst of our weeks here coming up. Pastor Michelle is actually, as we've mentioned throughout the morning, some of you know, some of you don't, in the midst of dealing with family. And we're praying for her and her parents in particular. Both have had some pretty interesting health issues in the last couple of weeks here. Her mom, I know she shared last week about her mom being saved from two blood clots, at least two, that were in her lungs and could have traveled, and that wasn't her time yet, right? We have a time. We don't live forever on this side of heaven. That was not her day. And then last night, again, Pastor Michelle's father was having some challenges there, and so they've taken him to the hospital, and we're praying for him as he possibly awaits surgery here, and we go into this week here. So Pastor Michelle's week has flipped on its head. Chuck, thanks for being here after pulling probably an all-nighter. I know you're a nurse, and so you have some flexibility with that, but still, grace to you. And I'd like for us to open the service in prayer for Pastor Michelle specifically and for her family. And I don't know about you, but like, you know, one family member, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's normal. That's life. The second one, I start to say like, okay, what is spiritual about this? And, you know, we need to pray for our pastor. We need to pray for her strength, for her ability to have wisdom. And, you know, she's in here preparing each week in and out for God's word to sow into our lives, into our hearts, and then ministers throughout the week. And needs that prayer covering around her. I know those of us who pray during the sermon while she's preaching, and those who call her during the week and contact her and pray for her, and that's important. So I just want to take this time to pause, and that we pray for her parents, and for all that's happening in their lives here. So will you join me in that as we start into our service this morning? Father, we thank you that it is so sweet to trust in you. God, I don't know how friends without you really know how to make it. And so I'm so grateful for the ways that I can trust in you and know that you have plans, you have purposes, and that I can link myself to what it is that you have for me. God, this morning we pray for our pastor, for our leader, for our shepherd, for our guide that you have given us on this earth, in this church, for this season, Pastor Michelle. Lord, we thank you so much for her. We lean into prayers for her in this day. We ask you, Jesus, to give her the sleep and the rest that she did not get last night. That, Father, you give her clarity of mind and thought and wisdom. Lord, may she sense your presence right where she's at today. God, you walk with us, and you walk with her this morning. God, we thank you that you are with her, Father. We pray for Dennis, Lord, this morning. God, your healing touch on him. Thank you for guiding doctors and nurses and the ones who are caring so well for him. God, we thank you that you have more for him. There is breath in his lungs and you have more for him. God, we pray that you would remove any stress and anxiety around him this morning and that, Father, he would have a sense of your presence with him as well. God, we thank you for Carolyn and we pray, Lord, continued health in her body. Thank you for saving both of them and preserving them in this day. And we pray, Lord, that the surgeries would be effective, the blood clots in Carolyn's would continue to dissipate, and that, Lord, their hearts would beat to your heartbeat for them. And that, Lord, you would continue to raise them into health. And we just are so thankful that today we can pause and that Pastor Michelle can be with her family and that we can entrust to you their needs as well as ours. You're so good and we rely on you. Our hope is in you. Our trust is in you. Whatever level of trust we came in here this morning with, we pray that that would increase and that being together, Lord, would help us with this walk that we have day in and day out with you on this side of heaven. Lord, this morning for any words that I share, God, I thank you that I will be hidden behind your cross and that your word would come alive in our hearts and you would stir us to action and that you would help us to understand what our part is in our walk with you and that, again, our trust in you would increase. So, Father, we exalt you, we lift you up, and we are so grateful and thankful for the way that your presence is with us in this community, in this space, online. And, Lord, that you can speak to our hearts and that you can change us. Lord, as I often say when I'm teaching with kids, help us to learn something new about you today. And may we walk in awe of you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's good. So I don't know how many of you have pulled out the eclipse glasses. Anyone prepared with your eclipse glasses? Yeah, Jim had some the other day. IW was sending some out to our staff members, so they were preparing for that. So yes, praying that it's not as massive of a chaos as they're expecting and anticipating, but praying safety over people. And also, like, aren't we just amazed at our Savior where we would all pause and stop and look at the sky and be reminded of the one who created the heavens and the earth. So tomorrow, I pray for good conversations with coworkers, good conversations with your family members, good conversations with the neighbors, as maybe you would be outside. Thank you. I cry all the time. It's all good. I'm so good. Thank you, Ricky. You're so kind. I appreciate that. So yeah, praying for good conversations in the midst of everything that is taking place tomorrow and safety and protection and that. But I don't know if you've ever been at the beach where everyone stands around or even at a beautiful sunset, I know in Lake Erie, where everyone just stands around and looks at the sun and there's this silent, there's this majesty, there's this majestic moment of realizing like it's bigger than us. And how can we with our lives point back to the Creator? So I do hope that you can have a chance to take in the eclipse tomorrow and safely do that. That's good. So this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about being prepared, living prepared. And there's a lot of different portions of scripture that we can turn to and a lot of different pieces of information here. But I have some focus for us this morning and kind of want to talk with us about living prepared. So when I was thinking about this in scripture, I love that we were worshiping this morning on singing songs on trusting in Jesus and 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and all those aspects of faith and trust in our lives. And hopefully you're strengthened in that way this morning to trust in greater ways. But as we were looking at that, and as I was talking with Pastor Michelle last night, we were contemplating what was the best for this morning service and how should we do this. And, you know, it's not often that the lead pastor has to like go be with family and do something different. So I knew at that point that God had kind of put some words in my heart leading up to this moment. And so it's amazing how he again so faithfully prepares us. And that seems to be a common theme in my life, especially in this season. And I want us to go straight into scripture here. And we won't spend a lot of time referring back to this passage, but I think like to have it in our thoughts and in our spirits will be good for us for the rest of this message this morning. So I'm going to, I just lost our opening passage here, Matthew. It's chapter 25. And we're looking at the parable of the 10 virgins. So I'm going to read through this, and this is a little bit of scripture for us. And if you haven't had a chance or you don't have your scripture with you, you can look at that a little bit later, maybe jot on your phone or your notes to go back to Matthew 5. For those of us who have read through the Bible with our Bible app, we did Matthew a couple weeks back. We're headed into Corinthians. I was locked out of my Bible for like the last 11 days, so I have some catching up to do. A friend said, yeah, like as if you don't have a paper Bible sitting around. I'm like, yeah, but it's not on my phone. It's not on my app. So I have some catching up to do, but I have a 5-hour drive later to Louisville. So I'll be able to get some scripture reading in then. But as we turn to Matthew 25, it says this: at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took out their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all of the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell the oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready in with him went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This morning's focus is on living ready. And when we think about this scripture, there's so many good truths to be able to learn from God's word and be able to look and apply to our lives on the concept of being ready. And we say, be ready for what? What are we ready for? what is this living ready concept about? Well, yes, ready for Christ's return at any moment. Yes, ready for death at any moment. Young or old. I know a 20-year-old who is fighting for her life this week. She was in a car accident a couple weeks back, and we've been praying for the family. 20-something. In a moment, life changes. Are we living ready? Living ready to give a reason for the hope that's within. At a moment's notice, am I ready for any of those circumstances? And what am I doing to live prepared? Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." I can be sinful and self-absorbed and overworked and tired and grief-stricken and sick and so very, very distracted. Oh, look, squirrel. And yet scripture's clear that we live with purpose. We live our lives in a way that is ready for his return, for instant death, for reason for the hope within us. And those are all things to be ready for. And I often, again, get so pulled into my world that I forget about what I'm really supposed to be preparing for and using my time for in this world. Anyone with me on this, or am I the only one who gets, yeah, I forget. This bill needs paid. I just filled my taxes. I need to go back and pick up this. I need to go get the kids. I need to drop off. I need to. Ooh, I need to live prepared. What does living prepared and living ready look like? I think about athletes who are training for the Olympics. The commercials are starting to go. I don't know if you're catching any of the commercials, but there are people who are, you know, like getting up at 5 a.m. or earlier. I don't know. I'm not a disciplined athlete, so I will admit that. But here are these athletes training and getting ready and preparing for the Olympics. Nurses study and have lab hours to practice so that they can be ready to help in a moment's notice. And Christians, we get to prepare with our time in walking with God to glorify Him with our lives. I had very different plans for 2024. You know, we make resolutions and we put some plans together, and I had very different plans going into 2024 this year. With 24, I've had two dear friends who have gone through double bilateral mastectomies. So dealing with cancer and just been very close to those situations, one a little bit closer than the other. A neighbor who's also gone through cancer. And I have dear friends who have faced death in their circle, and it's reset them, and just it's affected their lives, and we grieve together. I've had friends who've had surgeries. Personally, I'm in the midst of dealing with a couple resignations from staff. Hiring people these days is not fun. That's a whole different conversation. But, you know, just the midst of unknowns, so many unknowns. I have also been in the place of working really hard to finish my master's degree. And that came with a lot of weeks of all-nighters and 20 to 30 hours a week with focused on studies and concentration. So 2024, with all those things, and you can add to that, right? What has been happening just in these few months in 2024? What is the whirlwind that you've been in or that has tried to get at you? And I think about staying focused on what God has for me in the midst of that and wanting very much my heart to not miss Him in what He wants for me and what He wants for us. And so this morning, I think about three things when I think about being prepared, staying ready. I think about connecting with God. You know, back to our passage with these women who were awaiting their bridegroom, and the ones who were prepared and the ones who were not, the ones had oil in their lamps and the ones who were not ready. Who were the ones that were connecting and anticipating God's return in a way that they had what they needed and the supplies were there? And that daily, I think we can run the parallel to that daily connection with God. So the first thing I would encourage us with is, how are we connecting with God? And looking at seeking the Holy Spirit for encounters, being in His presence, posturing ourselves. I had to at times this year just stop and kneel differently because I was in a different space. And so I can remember like stopping and kneeling against a bed at one point for a couple of weeks while I was helping to care for one of my friends. And, you know, it was just so good to be able to be in a different position and a different posture, because that level of hunger was in my heart of, oh God, I'm seeking You. Not just the gifts that You give, not just the healing that You can provide, but You. I want to be with You. I want to know You. I want it to be known that I have been with You. And I think sometimes we have to consider our posture and look for ways to purposely connect with God. We can listen. We can designate specific times. I know that's something that's helpful for me. I actually have appointments on. And I know that when we connect with God, what we need is found in His presence. And I'm really not sure we believe that. Can I say that again? What we need is found in His presence. Our actions show we need our habits, that we need our friends, that we need our food, that we need sex, that we need social media, that we need our video games. Oh, that we even need isolation. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that my life demonstrate sometimes that I need more than his presence. Pastor Michelle, this last Wednesday we were talking about, we finished up our Wednesday midweek. If you get a chance to come to our once a month midweek, we're doing surveys, I think, in the future to see what we're doing with those. But the midweek service this last week, we finished up our series on listening to God. And Pastor Michelle asked us, how is God whispering to me in this season? And what is he saying? And it was so good and faith-building to hear friends in the room say, I'm going through a time of grief right now, and this is what God's saying to me in the midst of that. I'm going through a job transition right now, and I don't know what's next, but this is what God's saying to me in it. And I think over and over, if we passed the mic and shared, what is God saying to us? What is he whispering to us in this season? And what is he saying? It would be a reflection of our connection or lack thereof with him. And I want to challenge us to live prepared, to live with the oil ready in our lamp comes with a sacrifice of choosing to connect with God. We seek after his presence. We seek after his truth. We seek after his ways, and we line ourselves up with him and the word. For me, when I think about that question of what is God whispering, how is God whispering to me in this season, what is he saying? I'm seeing it through the hardships of friends. I'm seeing God whisper to me in this season through some of the things that they've been facing. In the joys and in the sorrows, he's saying these are hard situations. And yet when I get down to the bottom of it all, God has reminded me over and over that he is enough. He's enough. And you can't share God is enough with a friend or a coworker or a dear loved one. You can't share that unless you're experiencing that. So I want to challenge us to not just be talking about the things of God, but to be able to be experiencing him and connecting him in a connecting with him in a way that transforms our heart and our life. I remember being in the hospital on January 3rd. We were with Pastor Donna Barrett. Some of you know that she's been facing a cancer battle, and she is cancer-free, and we are continuing to believe God for her and for good health. Thank you for your prayers. It matters. Thank you for text messages and for phone calls and for emails. All of those things, they matter. They matter. But as I was walking through the hospital halls, and I was so overwhelmed with, like, it's not just Donna's surgery today, it's hundreds of people's of surgeries, you know, today, and just all this, and in my back of my mind, as I was walking through, this little song was playing in my head, and I love the Lord. He's so faithful to give song and to help me to be able to worship in hard times, and it was the old song. I most know this by CeCe Winans, but I think who's the guy who plays the guitar, old school. Anyways, there's a guy who wrote the song, but CeCe Winans is who I had in my head. She's my version of who's singing this song. So, his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us. And I had that song just going through my head and my heart as I'm weaving in and out of hospital beds. And like, his strength is perfect. Like, how can his strength be perfect when there's so many people in sick beds and there's so much, and it's so overwhelming? Peace, Vaso. His strength is perfect. And how can I lean into that? So that's kind of what I sense God whispering to me in this last season of his strength is enough and his strength is perfect. And no matter what I'm facing, I want to be known for someone who has been with Jesus. So to stay ready, like those women, anticipating Christ's return, anticipating earthly death, anticipating being able to have an answer for the hope that's within me. Connecting with God is crucial. The second piece of this is looking at choosing and experiencing greater health. This is what I would call the work. So connecting with God, for some of you, that might be the work, and that's okay. As you seek after the Holy Spirit, as you pursue, he's so faithful. As we draw near to him, he has promised to draw near to us. And he goes first, right? He loved us first unconditionally. So that to me isn't as much of a work as much as like positioning myself. But the work is the second thing, and I think that is leaning into choosing and experiencing greater health. Our staff is going through Scazzaro's book on the emotionally healthy church, and I read that like 20 years ago. And it's so good to reread because as I bump into my own unhealthy parts, I realize I have so much more healing, and I have so much more to go in my pursuit of wholeness. We were talking this last week about our genograms on, life moments. And if you have not had a chance to do this in your life or work with a trusted counselor or pastor to do this, I would encourage you. Because it's amazing to know how the moments in our life shape us. And then even generationally, looking at parents and our family situations and where we've come from, even if it's the best of the best situation. I don't really know anyone in that kind of a situation. But anyways, if you have that, awesome. But there's still work to be done in our hearts and in our growth and in the pain points that happen as we get triggered by just being with other people. In our living rooms, our kitchens, I think that's where I have the most problem with people in the kitchen, but yeah, that's another conversation. In the kitchens of our homes, in our workplaces, in our cars, we bump into things that cause us to not be ready when we're not admitting and not working through and not choosing to experience greater health. How long will you hold on to grief over the healing that God has for you? How long will you hold on to bitterness over the wholeness that Christ is offering? How long will we hold on to sin and shame and habits that are eating away at us versus the freedom that God so longs to have us walk in? Choosing and experiencing greater health takes worth. Emotional health, wholeness, forgiveness. There's grief support. There's counseling. Sometimes it's reading a book and just learning. Sometimes it's being with people who you're like, wow, I've never heard that conversation before. What are they talking about? And your spirit's challenged to do something different, to change and to be different. I pray that this morning our inner beings would be strengthened. This is the being part of us. The being part would be strengthened. I think about our discipleship series that we're in the midst of launching into. And the Mitchells, if you've seen the Mitchells, Scott and Christine, you know that we are on an endeavor to see everyone plugged in to a disciple group. I don't need it. I've been following Jesus for blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, why'd you lose it with the guy next door then? I'll say it to myself, you know, like, yeah, I got that down, you know? And then it's like, but then why am I so upset that someone else is whatever? We all have stuff and we bump into it unless we're coming to the place where we are submitting to the cross of Jesus and the work that he wants to accomplish in us. And I love that we're a bunch of believers, some who are on a faith journey at different places, growing to walk in the likeness of our Christ, not in the likeness of each other, in the likeness of our Christ. And the only way we get that is by examining scripture and being in that place where we can challenge one another. And just like Wednesday night, when I learned what some of my co-church members are going through, it gave me a greater sensitivity and it allowed the mirror to come onto my heart and my life and say, yeah, how am I dealing with that loss right now? How am I dealing with that change? How am I dealing with that sickness right now? And allowing God to do the work in us. Choosing and experiencing greater health allows us to live prepared. I'll say this again. Sign up for discipleship if you have not. It's on our website. I'm looking forward to seeing how these journeys together and how these groups change us and help us to be more prepared and help us to be more like our Jesus. The third area of living prepared here is stepping into what God has for us. And this is the doing part, okay? So we've got the being part, and those are so important because we have to be with Jesus and we have to know who we are in him as we are also simultaneously being called to do and to give and to go. There is the time and the way of tasting and seeing that he is good and also being still and know that he is God. There are those moments, and we are also still called to declare his name among the nations. So there's this tension that exists of, yes, we have issues. Yes, we have our things. And it's both, right? And we declare his name to the nations. And nations for you might be your neighbor next door who just had surgery and you need to take him some banana bread. I've got 3 bananas on the counter at work that I'm like, I just need to make some banana bread. Take it to someone. I'll be in Louisville this week, so I can't do that. But it's my heart. I wish I could. But the being part equips us to be ready so that we can step into what God has for us, the doing part. Walking as a family is so important. And I think about this. I saw this video. I don't know where the camera goes. Sorry if I'm stepping out. I didn't have time to get this video loaded, but you know, TikTok has all sorts of great, crazy, whatever, you know, say what you want. There's good stuff out there too, okay? And this pastor was preaching, and he was talking about how that we are the body of God, we are the family of God. And when we're walking together as a family and we're in this journey and we're going to discipleship and we're going to Wednesday, you know, midweek, and we're journeying together, when one stops because of a cancer diagnosis or because of a surgery or because of a job loss or because something's going on with their spouse, when that one stops and the rest of the world goes on and keeps moving and that person's still here, the body of Christ is called to come and to be with that person and to walk with them and to journey with them. Maybe sometimes to sit in the mud, sit in the muck, sit in the pain of the grief, sit in the pain of the divorce, sit in the pain of whatever it is in that moment, the job loss. And we as the body of Christ, we have to be ready to walk as a family and not let others get out of the fellowship. And that's what the discipleship piece is about, right? As we're walking together, our small group, those groups come alongside, and then we can be in touch with each other and make sure that people are not getting out of fellowship. Oh God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you are saying and be responsive to the Holy Spirit taps on our lives. A couple of weeks ago, I was in an almost car crash situation. I can't tell you why, but for some reason, I did not pull up all the way to the light, Ridgewood Drive. How many of you are on West Ridgewood Drive, right by Parmatown Mall? So I'm sitting across from City Hall, and all of a sudden, cop sirens go off, and I saw the car on my right. I was in the straight lane. There was it's a 5-lane road. Let me get this visual. So the car next to me on the right had just turned right. We were stopped at the red light. I, for some reason, did not pull up all the way. I can't even tell you. I mean, just the Lord, the Holy Spirit, like, so good. Thank you, Lord. And out of nowhere, police, cars, it just became like this massive, like, amount of chaos, like, out of nowhere. And I was not prepared for it. Like, I'm like, what is going on? Like, you know, whatever. So I'm watching this. And as I'm seeing these sirens and hearing what's going on, this car all of a sudden, like, crazy. I don't know if it was a speed chase or like what. I don't know fully. But he was coming down Ridge Road and he came in and he turned like enough that if I would have been sitting where I should have been, he would have totally turned into me and hit me and hit the person like head on who was next to me who had just turned. And he was turning into oncoming traffic. So like that wasn't even his lane to turn into, right? He should have been turning like over here and he turned over here. So it's just crazy because he came across and his car is like, I don't know if they blew his tires out or what, but the tires were like going and they were flat. And just as we were in that moment, I only had a couple of seconds to like process what was going on. And they almost got my car. And the lady next to me, I could tell like, you know, like her arms are up in the air. She's next to me. She's in the left turning lane, like getting ready to left. And she could have turned into him, right? As he was coming this way, like she could have turned into him. So she is just like, you know, up in arms. And I rolled down my window and I had just enough presence of mind and just enough sense to say, are you okay? And she said, yeah, I'm okay. She said, but they could have hit my car. And she started like, you know, ramping up. I said, well, let's pray. Because as that was happening, I said, let's pray the bullets don't start flying. I had just enough sense because when I looked over, by the time this car had stopped, police were out. There were like four cops who had already had guns out. And I'm just thinking, we are in the middle of like this like showdown going down. And like, oh God, like please give us safety and protection. And then I'm also praying for the police and that God would give them the wisdom in the midst of whatever that situation was. And we were there for quite a while, but I had enough sense again in that moment to ask the lady next to me, are you okay? Because obviously she was upset to know I was okay, that God had just like protected me in those moments. And let's pray because there's something else that could be taking place here in the matter of moments. And I am prepared and aware of what is happening. You know, it doesn't always happen that way. A lot of times I miss things and I mess up and I'm not up here trying to tell any superhero stories. I'm just trying to tell you that in a moment's notice, we need to be ready and we need to have the presence of mind to be able to point people to who? To me? Mm-mm. Everyone say it with me. Jesus. We are prepared to point people to who? Jesus. Jesus. When I've been with him and I can point and direct others to him, lives around me start changing. And then we walk away with testimonies of his goodness. Oh, let's not waste time on this side of eternity. When we have a couple of seconds to deliver a message because you've been with Jesus, may it be, yeah, let's pray. Let's be aware of what's happening here. 1 Peter 1:3, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. We wait with anticipation for his coming. It might just be that some of us have our last breath before that coming. And so we anticipate death on this side. We prepare for death on this side. And it might just be that we have opportunity to tell the person next to us in the store, let's just stop and pray. Because we get to point to Jesus in that moment. Man, lots of courage. And that's where sitting in God's presence and being with him and letting him transform our hearts and our lives and letting us understand the goodness of who he is soaks in. So that we can share that with others. And that's what boils over and that's what comes out. We are called to live prepared. We're not called to live in fear, not in shame, not in sickness, not in defeat. We are called to live prepared. You know, the example of the family of Christ here and journeying with our church family, I think, again, being prepared to step into what God has for us, it actually involves us, how do I say this? Laying down our selfishness. oh, I'm not good at that. Like, I've got things to do and I've got a whoo, like, let's go. I was telling you, I had plans for 2024. I was going to do all these things with our team members, and this is what we were going to do at Indiana Wesleyan. And, you know, this is what I was going to do even with family, or, you know, plans to do different things. And man, that all came to a screeching halt in the midst of friends who needed to not get left behind, who needed people to sit with them, who needed people to text them, who needed people to call them, who needed people to send cards, prep a meal, or show up in the world, because God is allowing us to experience him, and we get to be his hands and feet when we're prompted. I personally remember 12 weeks of my jaw was wired shut back in 2003. So I have to think about the decade. And I had jaw surgery. They had moved my jaw up and forward and back. And yeah, it was a mess. But in those 12 weeks of recovery, which was really like more like a year, in those 12 weeks, I remember what it was like to appreciate getting a card in the mail. I think about the Vayners, Audrey Vayner, and they were people who had come on this journey with us early at Rockside. And I remember getting a card from Rich and Audrey. Like, that changed my life, a card, you guys. Because I knew someone else was praying. I knew someone else was caring when I didn't have the strength and when I didn't have the effort. And I pray that we have the boldness and the courage, and we're living prepared enough to die to ourselves and our doom scrolling. If you don't do it, I do it. Die to ourselves enough to have the space to be able to show up in other people's world and care for them. I'm loving this song right now. It's by William Hastings and Brandon Lake. And I know, say what you want about popular singers, whatever. I just love when truth comes in and God uses a song to be able to change my perspective. And it's called Abandon. And I want to read some of this for you. I'm not going to play it today, but if you get it and get a chance to listen to it, do it. Thinking about last week with Easter, verse 2, I just can't get over it. What kind of self-control is this? When you had angels at your fingertips, but on the cross you remained. And I can't repay that kind of love, but I can praise with everything I've got. And then it goes on to talk about, I'm completely, deeply sold out, sincerely abandoned. I'm completely, freely, hands to the ceiling, enamored. Oh, my one life endeavor to match your surrender, to mirror not my will, but yours. Oh, I'm completely, deeply, don't care who sees me. Abandoned. Oh, I surrender all. I surrender all. Abandon lives to Jesus require us connecting with him, inviting the Holy Spirit, changing our posture to get in a place where we are seeking after him and we are in tune with him and his ways, and his character becomes a reflection of our character. Our character becomes a reflection of his character. So living prepared, as I think of these women in scripture, and some who were ready and some who weren't, I want to challenge us with this. May we be ready. May we live ready. May we be in the sense of prepared for what God has for us, connecting with him, choosing and experiencing greater health, and stepping into what he has for us today. In these moments, as we're looking at ending service here, I want us to think about these areas. And there might be a prompt in your heart and in your spirit of, I'm sensing the Holy Spirit wanting me to seek him in greater ways. And if that's you in a minute, we're all going to stand and we're all going to find a different place in the room. To go and pray. But if that's you, if you need to be in that place where you are better prepared for eternity, for death, for his coming, to be able to give a reason for your hope, and you know that you are in that place of needing to connect with God. Maybe you've never said yes. Maybe this is the first time you're even hearing a message about an opportunity to connect with God. He loves us so much. He had such a great plan to come to earth, to send his son as a sacrifice for us, to pay for my sin, my debt, my shame, rescue us, and to be able to have eternity prepared for those who believe in him, for those who put their faith and their hope and their trust in him. So this morning, it might be about connecting with God. It might be about seeking Holy Spirit encounters. You know, the Holy Spirit is not just for preachers. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit prepares us for service. We don't have to preach to serve. We don't have to preach. I just spit. We don't have to preach to serve. Like when we have Jesus in our hearts, we go because of what he's already done in us. And we do because of who we're becoming and who he's helping us to be. Yeah, there's a whole other message coming for Mother's Day on whether we choose to invest our over the places where we overinvest and underinvest. So yeah, working on that one for Mother's Day. But the Lord is working on my heart in the ways that I'm choosing to connect with him, choosing to experience greater health. Guys, some of us are stuck. And maybe you don't see it, but I'm telling you, the friend next to you sees it. It's so much easier to see what's wrong with the other person, isn't it? Like, we're like, oh, man, like, whoo. And then if someone spends time with me, they're like, oh, she's a mess too. We're all a mess. But we're healing, and we're hopefully pursuing wholeness in Jesus so that we can help bring others along with us in the journey. I was talking to a 20-something again a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I just want to encourage you in this hard work you're doing. You're signing up for counseling and you're reading a book and you're doing this hard work. You're not alone. Some of us 50-year-olds are doing that work too, and sometimes it's a lifelong journey. Live prepared, connect with God, choose and experience greater health. Don't stay stuck. Don't stay in the same place. Don't keep dealing with the same sins. Like, God, we pray for breakthrough. That's been a word of the year for me, breakthrough. I didn't think it would come this way, but praying for wholeness and healing for so many around me and in my life, areas where breakthrough is needed. And then that last area of stepping into doing what God has for us. It's not just the being, and there's a place for that. There is a place to be shut in with Jesus and in the place of that quiet place, and there's nothing like being able to bow with him and connect with him and be with him. But when the police cars are running past you and you have moments to say something, what leaks out? Are you okay? Let's pray. Or is it, bah! Which that's okay, you know? Everyone's different. But it's like, what leaks out of us? Can we step into God, into what God has for us? And I will say this, it's so much more than emotion. Are we able to deliver a message of truth and of hope and of goodness because we've been with Jesus and because we're walking with him and because we're ready and we're prepared and the oil is in our lamp and we are expecting his return? Are we dozing? Are we comfortable? Are we stuck? Are we doing the same thing because it feels good? May I be found among the men and women in this room who are staying alert and fully sober, like 1 Peter 1 says, setting our hope on the grace to be brought when Jesus is revealed. I want to be with men and women who challenge me to do the hard things. I want to be with men and women who are okay to sit with me in those broken times when that marriage is on the rock. When that diagnosis is given. When I'm sitting at a family table, how can I be the hope and light of Jesus Christ in the midst of the hard moments of this life? Jesus. So I'm going to ask us to do this. I'm going to ask in just a minute for all of us to stand. And I say this challenge to us to find a different place to pray, even if it's to stand on the opposite side of the room. The altars are open. There are the stage in front of the pulpit here, the stage here to be able to kneel and pray. Maybe it's at the end of your aisle to just kneel and pray, but kneel and pray and bow. But do something different. Posture yourself in a different way and expect God to show up and to speak to you the words of life that you need to hear today in this moment. I am with you. I care about you. I want to pour myself into you. I want you to walk in my healing and wholeness. And as you do, I want you to turn and love others around you well.